From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Thursday edition Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. Today, Neil's already been laughing for like 35 minutes. We're starting the show this morning, so probably some fun things ahead. I don't know where we're going, including one story that I really want to talk about, but I don't want to get a lot of letters from really from upset parents, so probably going to avoid it. But
yeah, it's not kid friendly. It's not graphic or anything. It's just not a kid friendly.
I mean, talk about little Johnny really having their day crushed on the way home from school today. If we hit the topic.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you could be ruining a lot of parents' days, too.
Yeah, so we'll avoid it. But search the internet. You'll find it out. We'll figure it out anyway. All right. Jeffrey's going to join. We're going to talk about Neil's picks, which are up at rebelgrove.com. Matt Luke video from yesterday's practice is up at rebelgrove.com. And a little update. We mentioned yesterday that we were going to have on the narrator of Open, the Case of Leochi, the Tupelo Daily Journal podcast about the girl that went missing in 1992. We're going to do that Wednesday morning, so you have until Wednesday to get through. It's like 6-7 episodes, pretty fast podcast listening, so check that out so you won't be getting spoilers for that. We're going to talk with Emma Kent on the show on Wednesday. I confirmed that last night. So a little bit of programming thing there. Ole Miss and Auburn, 11 a.m. Saturday from Jordan-Hare Stadium. We'll have Brian Brown on tomorrow's show, as we do every Friday. He obviously works in Birmingham, so we have plenty of information and thoughts on Auburn. The disaster at LSU is Ross Dellinger's Twitter timeline was quite entertaining last night. Is people not real happy in Red Stick right now. So that and more on today and tomorrow's shows. Shows that are always brought to you by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go get a daiquiri, just $3.99 for a 20-ounce. You can get it up to a 44-ounce if you'd like, and when you do that, you can swipe the Plenty card, PLENTI.com, to get that, because every time you swipe it at any critical location in Mississippi, you're automatically entered to the LSU game giveaway where they're going to give away tickets, VIP passes, and apparel for Ole Miss and LSU here in a few weeks. So do that. Use the Plenty card, and you got to put gas in a car, so if you need a car, Clark Ford in Amory.
Clark Ford is indeed in Amory, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. Call that number, ask for Corey, tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's straight to the bottom line. No haggling. Just a great deal. You get great service after the sale. You obviously get a great Ford product. We can make the deal even greater. Now, look, it's up to you. You can take you can take your quote and you can shop it. Or you can take the quote and do what so many others have done, which is let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the car buying experience. And to make it even better, tell Corey at the end of the deal, say, hey, Corey, I heard about the podcast on the Oxford Exxon podcast. I heard about the dealership on the Oxford Exxon podcast. I heard about the dealership on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I heard about the dealership on the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Pick any of the three for about 3 seconds of your tongue and vocal cords working, you'll save $500 off the bottom line from your deal at Clark Ford, 662-257-1900.
I'm on the Washington Post because I was reading about the story that we sort of kind of mentioned a second ago.
Yeah.
That's number two. One in three. This is kind of a odd list here. Number one, most read story in the Washington Post this morning. Southwest says she was forced off a plane after a dispute over dog allergies. The woman has a very different account. We have so many airplane issues being publicized these days. Everybody feels like they have a right to everything on an airplane. It drives me nuts a little bit. But anyway, that's number one. I haven't even read the story. I'm reading a headline and making something out of nothing. But
oh, I got all sorts of airplane etiquette issues. But I'm easy. I pay the $15 deal with Southwest to get the early boarding.
A little unnecessary, but okay.
Oh, it's not. If you pay that, you're guaranteed to get an aisle seat.
Yeah, you want aisle.
I don't want to get stuck against the window where the fat guy, I'm sorry, I'm being honest, The fat guy who didn't pay is in C, and he gets in the middle because there's no choice left.
But hold on.
And now
hold on,
I'm crammed against the window.
Hold on, though. If you're in the aisle, you're hanging out in the aisle, a fat guy's in the middle, and you got the cart coming up and down. The window is by far the preferable spot.
But you can't get out. If I'm in the aisle, I can go to the restroom or get up and walk around whenever I want to, and I'm guaranteed at least one leg worth of leg room.
You're big on getting up and walking around a Southwest flight over the course of an hour and a half, just up and down the aisles,
well,
up and down the aisles.
When I flew to San Francisco, it was a four-hour flight. Yeah, I was big on being able to get up and walk to the... Yes. The other thing, if you board
early...
Well,
when you're getting a little older, prostate starting to act up a little, probably got to use the bathroom a little more than the other thing,
I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. The other thing when you board early is it allows you to recruit...
Your eyes catching the...
You recruit your seatmates. So you do what I did. You see the mom and her, like, teenage daughter.
Okay.
And you already have one seat. You know they need two together. And they're both lean. And you just kind of recruit them into your seat. It worked. I recruited them with my eyes. I got them in.
They came to you.
They came to me.
You look harmless enough.
I'm harmless. I'm not going to hit on you. I'm not going to hit on your teenage daughter. I'm wearing headphones. You're going to wear headphones. We're never going to know each other's names. But for the next 4 hours, we're going to protect one another without saying a single word. And that's exactly what we did. We never communicated verbally, yet it worked out.
Didn't say a word.
Not one word.
Hey, how are you? Nothing.
Nothing.
Not even, hey, how are you?
Nope.
Have a good morning?
Nope.
Really?
Do they care if I'm having a good morning?
No, it's just platitudes.
I'm not a platitude guy.
You're really not very platitudinal.
It's just fine. I didn't wish them a bad morning. I didn't say, hey, hope your morning sucks. I mean, I guess I'm glad they weren't having a bad morning, but I mean, I wasn't particularly worried about the state of their morning. Nobody appeared to be crying or upset or anything. The girl got in the seat and was asleep.
You're not like the evil guy that's like recruiting the girl that you know is incredibly anxious or terrified to be on the plane. Then she sits down beside you, and you like pull out Sully or like one of those like, things. You know, like, hey, let's read through it a little bit. Like, see
this
how
plane
it's going.
Sounds weird. Do you hear a weird sound?
It's like the Friends finale or whatever. And they're like, yeah, the phalange broke. It's like there is no phalange. This plane doesn't have a phalange. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Anyway, all right. We've talked about Mike Leach all week long for some reason. I don't know why. We have no evidence that he's even in consideration, but whatever. Last night, or yesterday, he's funny constantly. I mean, the man is hilarious press conference standpoint. Here's his latest bit yesterday. He was asked if Oregon was one of the loudest stadiums he's ever coached in. So here is Mike Leach's response to that question.
It's louder. A&M's louder. Texas is on the bubble. Nebraska was definitely louder. LSU's louder. I never went to Alabama. We beat Alabama, but it was at Kentucky. Depending whether or not you add the cowbells, Mississippi State's comparable. Georgia's louder. Florida's louder. Definitely that one end zone at South Carolina's louder. Tennessee's louder. Little Rock, Arkansas, that's the loudest place I ever played. Entirely concrete structure. It's as if you had a football game in the neighbor's basement and all the kids were yelling louder than hell. And you could tell when you were starting out, you know, you clap your hands and you'd hear it five times and yell, go, 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 hit, 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 hit. Well, then after you know, and you figure there's 45,000, you multiply that times five, that equals approximately 250,000. That's a lot of people, and there's no stadiums that hold 250,000 people. So 250,000 people are louder than 100,000 people.
That's like good logic to me. I don't know.
It's a good point. I'm falling in love fast.
By the way, if you can't hear these, it's mono because of the audio. So either just put in your left headset or don't put headset in at all. If you just have a right earpiece in, you will not hear this.
Gotcha.
Just a little heads up there if you'd like a little heads up. So he's got some other stuff too where he criticizes people that try to run up time of possession and different things, but we'll stop there.
Don't want to tickle the center's butt.
That's what he said. He goes, if you're just sitting there tickling the center's behind, you're not accomplishing anything, waiting on the clock to run down.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, that could be debated, but it's okay. It's
well, it still, depends on who the center is.
Well, I wasn't even saying that. It's just debatable whether or not that is serving a purpose or not.
I mean, if the center is... Justin Verlander's Kate Upton.
Kate
if the center's
Upton.
Kate Upton, might actually not be so bad.
You know it's playoff season when Neil can remember Justin Verlander but can't remember Kate Upton.
Yeah. Well, our relationship has been over for a while.
Has it?
Me and Kate. Yeah.
What happened?
Just moved on. Lost interest.
Times change.
Things happen. I wish her and Justin nothing but the best.
Caller of the LSU call-in show last night calls in and says that Ed Orgeron is an alpha male. However, he's dealing with a beta and a feminine person in Joe Oliva. That was good.
Yeah, I don't understand the logic behind that call. Look, I'm going to say it again. The only person at Ole Miss that should be blamed for Ed Orgeron is Robert Kiyet. And the only person at LSU who should be blamed for Ed Orgeron is Joe Oliva.
It's not Ed's fault.
It's not Ed's fault.
He's doing a job that he's not capable of doing.
He took two jobs that were offered to him.
If you offer me $2 million to be the CEO of Coke, I'm going to take the job.
Yes.
And then I am going to suck at it.
Yes.
But I'm going to take it. I'm going to move into the corner office, and I'm going to hold the meetings. And
if you offer me $4 million a year to manage the Cincinnati Reds, I am going to take the job.
You wouldn't even think about it. Done.
I'm going to take the job. I'm going to go get my Reds uniform on, and I'm going to do the best I can.
You're
going to
put Zach Cozart in at shortstop, and we're going to go on about our day.
Joey Votto is going to play first base and hit third all year. Now, we're going to suck. But whose fault is it? Is it my fault for taking the job, or is it the fault of the Reds ownership for offering it to me?
Ed Orgeron ownership every time.
Ed Orgeron has not done any – I'm not a fan, but he's done nothing wrong. No one made Robert Kiyet offer him that job. Robert Kiyet's ego made him offer him that job. Ed Orgeron took it. Joe Oliva's feelings and ego made him offer Ed Orgeron a job that he could have waited 3 weeks to offer Ed Orgeron. But he didn't want to offer him. He wanted Ed Orgeron because he was tired of, he was upset at Tom Herman. He was mad that LSU had been used in a coaching search. He was mad that he was going to have to admit to people that we were back to square one. And so he said, well, you know what? I'm going to give it to the guy that wants it. Okay. And so the guy who wanted it was offered it and took it. He's completely unqualified for it, does not possess the skills required to handle the job, and it will be a train wreck. And that will be on Joe Oliva. But no one in our profession is willing to do, outside of apparently me, you, and Matt Moscona, is willing to write the truth, which is this is a guy who somehow or another has risen in the ranks of the athletics department, athletic director field, despite the fact that he's absolutely crappy at his job.
Who hangs on longer to their jobs, Jay Jacobs or Joe Oliva?
Oliva, because I think Jacobs must be out.
You think he's out now?
Man. Sounds like it.
60 days, probably.
Yeah. Oliva's going to hang on through the end of this Orgeron era, which is going to end sometime next year.
Last AD gig.
Oh, I don't I mean,
who knows now?
I've decided
that's a whole different deal, isn't it?
I've decided that in that field, if you have a pulse, you can keep getting gigs. Unless there's an NCAA thing hanging over your head, at which point you can't.
ADs and bad left-handed relievers, they can continue. Yeah.
Paul Eisenmacher still pitching.
Yeah,
he's like 71 now.
It's like, well, he's done it before, so what's the worst that could happen? Like, well, yeah.
It's true. If you're a left-handed reliever who can get the ball over the plate with any degree of movement,
done.
You're employed.
Here's a one-year deal worth 1.3.
You're like the old dude in Major League.
Dude that puts Crisco on the ball.
Yeah, who's just coming up with everything. You're that dude.
He's hanging on for one last.
Yeah. Here you go. Here's the ball. Can you get me an out?
Yeah.
Be a loogie.
Yeah, it's like, what's that? Barbasol? Vaseline? Yeah. He's got it all over his body, depending on where he's touching. It's just the different things.
What's that? Vaseline? Barbasol? Motor oil.
Yeah, castor oil. Such a bad movie to still be so quotable and whatever.
Oh, it's so good.
The second one is mildly watchable, and then they just fall off the cliff and go.
And the actual Indians, the actual Cleveland Indians, have a Joe Boo thing in their locker room.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, I mean, it's the most notable thing about that franchise, that movie franchise.
Yeah.
I mean,
even the guys who play for the actual Cleveland Indians do the Joe Boo thing.
I mean, it's perfect in its stupidity.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob Uecker is fantastic. Oh, I mean, God. All these things, it's just, it's so good. Yeah. I mean, you ask a certain segment of the population, who's the play-by-play announcer for the Indians? Harry Dole. Harry Dole.
Oh, hell, no one's listening.
Oh, man.
Are you saying Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball? Jesus like him very much. No help with curveball.
It's not the funniest line of the movie, but the part I still crack on the most is early on when they're doing the team and the guy goes, he's dead. And she goes, well, cross him off then. God, this is a Thursday. We'll still have another one of these tomorrow.
This guy's dead. Well, cross him off.
I love that movie. Oh, God.
Yeah, Serrano steals the head covers from Dorn to put on his bats from the golf clubs.
Yeah.
Keeps bats warm.
And Dorn like, yeah, you can have it.
Yeah.
It's yours. And the snake. And then Willie Mays Hayes has the little grass snake. Oh, I might watch that again. It's
right?
Fun. Yeah, I'm good. I love that movie. It's so good.
You're going to be rooting for the Indians when the Cubs are eliminated.
Cubs don't advance, I am absolutely for the Indians. I love Terry Francona.
You are pretty big on Tito.
Francisco Lindor is probably my favorite player in baseball not wearing a Cub uniform. They probably – I don't say they deserve to win last year, but holy hell, that World Series was awesome. I was too emotionally involved to appreciate it, but I've gone back and watched it, and it was phenomenal. What a phenomenal series. And, yeah, if the Cubs can't win it, I hope they do. Now, if the Cubs get to the World Series, I want no part of Cleveland. I want somebody else. Boston, New York, Houston, fine. I don't want Cleveland. See this about Scherzer? Not pitching game one, apparently.
Yeah.
Not pitching game two, apparently. I love how people turn around and go, well, they're just giving him some extra rest. Can we keep this real?
It's the playoffs.
If Max Scherzer were healthy, he's pitching Friday night. Because you'd want him for game five if it got there. The fact that they're contemplating pushing him to game four tells you that he might not be ready for game four. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, of course. That's exactly what that means.
Because if he's close to ready, he's going.
Last night went weird. Diamondbacks do advance. You taking them over the Dodgers?
Yeah, I still am. Their lineup is so good. And so far, and that's just two playoff games, starting pitching has been a non-factor.
Yeah, Greinke gets a 6-0 lead and then falls apart in the fourth last night.
Totally.
Yeah. Rockies were gritty, got it close a couple times, got within one twice.
Did you think Troy Lovallo, the manager of the Diamondbacks, pulled Greinke too fast?
No.
You know, 'cause it was over?
Yeah, I mean – it's one game. Go. No, we can't let the next ball leave the yard. That's the
right,
thing. No,
right.
No. You had to – I understand leaving him in. I understand, hey, we got to maintain here. We've got to play a game in 2 days, whatever it is. But, no, you had to go.
Jonathan Gray, the pitcher for the Rockies yesterday, you could see it etched on his face. Playoff baseball is different than regular season baseball. It's not the same thing.
Elimination playoff baseball.
Yeah, but just playoff baseball is a different deal. He was overwhelmed.
Quick on Ole Miss. We'll go to Jeffrey in a few minutes. What's the injury report for the Rebels going into Saturday?
Sean Rawlings will not practice. He's going to play. I asked Matt Luke. I said, "You played that position. Is that, you know?" I can't remember how I asked it. It was a terribly asked question, probably. You know, obviously you admire his grit and everything, but is there rust? Is there a fall off? And he goes, "Yeah, you know, you're not as good if you don't practice." Jordan's going to have to play. Jordan Sims is going to have to play some center. They're worried about that. I think they're worried about Gary Wunderlich. Speaking of hamstrings, man, they don't heal quick. You know, you can put heat on them and ice on them, and you can have people massage on them, and you can put them in cryosaunas. And if it's a hamstring deal, it's a hamstring deal. Those things take 4 to 6 weeks.
Game time decision Saturday, and it's a kicker.
And so you wonder, by putting him out there to kick in the warm-ups, does he aggravate it every time you kick? I've never kicked.
The necessary amount to test it, what happens then? Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's a problem. A.J. Brown's fine. Kadir Shepherd's a game-time decision. He didn't practice. He didn't particularly sound hopeful, but I hate to start putting thought balloons over the head coach. I'll just take his word for it. If I'm gauging by the way he said it, I'm not optimistic that Shepherd's going to play.
So, I mean, basically where you would think they would be 4 weeks in, a couple guys banged up, got a couple questionable, it's football, it's what happens.
Quasi-healthy, really, over the whole scheme of things. They've lost Rawlings. Rawlings is having to play at a position where they just don't have depth. They've tried to generate depth there, they just don't have it.
Well, and as we always talk about, you take one lineman out and move another guy over, you're bad at that spot. Now, you know, it's
well, and you take away the one guy that can really handle the center position. Look, Sean Rawlings is a damn good football player. Mm-hmm. I mean, people do MVP of this team, and they don't ever get to him. He's in my top 10. 10 most important players on this team. I don't get to 10 without naming Sean Rawlings.
Yeah. No, that's true. We'll look at all the games this week in the SEC. Before we go to Jeffrey and the Rebel Locker Room Hotline, tell you the podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage. Look at an Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, leader in condo financing in Oxford. And as you'll see in the lines, we use the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate, 662-234-2704. Or Jason Lowe's email is jlowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Get in touch with Gene and Sandy. Tell them you heard about it on the podcast at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. The podcast also sponsored by State Farm agent Romero Miller. The former Ole Miss star, longtime contributor to this site, can write insurance throughout the states of Mississippi and Tennessee. Contact Romero at RomeroMiller.com, on Facebook at Romero Miller State Farm, or by email at Romero@RomeroMiller.com. Romero Miller State Farm is located at 7164 Hacks Crossroads, Suite 119 in Olive Branch. The phone number is 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a small business owner, you know Visa's rules recently changed, allowing owners to pass credit card processing costs on to their customer as a line item along with sales tax. Journey Business Solutions has a fully integrated solution to make that simple for business owners. You just swipe the card, just like you do today, and you pay zero for credit card processing. Journey Business Solutions also has the latest and greatest technology with Apple Pay, EMV chip processing, next day funding, and more. Learn more by sending an email to Ben Brown, benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They do business nationwide. They often work with merchants previously declined. They can get you out of your contract. The process is easy, and Ben will get back with you right away. Again, benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com.
Now we're going to Jeffrey Wright here on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. As we do every Thursday, welcome in Jeffrey Wright, former co-host of the show, now with doing Jeff Calkins, Eric Hasseltine, doing a lot of stuff in Memphis, Jeffrey. You seem to be a little busier during the day than maybe your days with MPW Digital.
Yes, nights are not as bad, but definitely during the day. Well, during Grizzly season, nights are definitely as bad, if not worse. But consistently, the nights and weekends, not quite as bad. But yeah, during the Monday through Friday, it is quite the grind right now.
How many Grizzlies home games do you average a year?
Let's see. Last year, I did the math. I think I covered 31, 32. This year, I would think it'd be closer to every home, unless I have like a real
75 to 85% probably.
Yes. Yeah. If they're playing in the Forum, I'm usually down there.
Okay. Just curious.
When do they open? They open on the 19th as well, or the 17th?
Correct. 19th. I believe they're Wednesday against the Pelicans.
Okay.
The weird thing is, like, even though I'm in radio and, like, you should probably know the date, I'm in this weird zone where it could be the 5th today, it could be the 7th, it could be the 3rd, and I'd be kind of like, okay, I'm not going to really correct anyone.
Yeah, I've gotten where I'm that way pretty much all the time.
I'll know the day of the week, but the day of the month, who knows?
Yes, I will say, like, I can usually go, I do know it's Thursday today, but after that, it's a guess.
You guys are improving each week, having good weeks. I continue to suck with picks last week. Neil goes 8-0 overall, 4-4. Jeffrey 8-0 overall, 5-3. And then I was 7-1 and a nice, cool 2-6. Two of those games were my fault. The other ones, whatever. For the season, Neil 43-9, 22-19. I am 44-8, 21-20. And Jeffrey is 43-9, 23-18, currently with a one-game lead in the standings heading into the week. And we open with the local game, Ole Miss plus 21 at number 12 Auburn, 11 a.m. SEC Network. There is not a single stat when you go through all sorts of stuff. I had Jeffrey, I don't know if you saw it or not, I had a lot of stuff earlier in the week about stats. None of them look good for Ole Miss to stay within 21 points here.
Yeah, I called Neil, Spirit of Full Disclosure, I believe I called Neil on Tuesday.
That is correct.
And, yeah, I called Neil on Tuesday, and like I was going through it. I was like, it's a line that's so big that it leads you to believe that there's not going to be a blowout. But like, I would feel better almost like if this line were like 31 points. There's like weirdly in my head, I would feel better laying that than I do 21. There's something about 21 that's like freaking with my head. But then I just, you know, at a certain point, it's like, okay, how are they going to score? As you wrote, Chase, they have the longest touchdown drought in all of college football. Okay, well, how are they going to score? I don't really know. I guess they get lucky and they hit a couple of like bomb passes, but they certainly are not going to drive the ball down the field. And then the other question is, how are they going to stop Auburn from scoring? Because if you haven't been watching Auburn clearly has an identity right now. They are a downhill running team and a play action deep shot team. And they look a lot like even though it's like in the shotgun and whatnot, they're basically built like just that kind of team where it's just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, take a deep shot. And Jared Stidham's been pretty accurate as of late with the deep ball. And so to me, this just has the makings of an absolute blowout.
Yeah, Ole Miss, horrific on third down. Auburn's one of the best third down defenses. Ole Miss gives up 7.5 yards a carry to other teams on third down rushes. That's incredibly hard to do. I mean, well, yeah, just for it is a stat that is fascinating to me.
Right, but they don't really stop the run on first and second down either.
Well, that's a good
point. Like, they're just giving up lots of yards on the ground, and they're not moving the ball on the ground. Like, this is what's
– It's like, almost like they're not very talented at defensive line and linebacker. I mean, it's almost – If you were making me guess from the outside, I'd guess, well, do they have linebackers? And someone would say, well, no, they don't.
Let's not leave the safeties out of this either.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I'm glad you say that because I was talking to a football person. This is what I do. This is what you guys know football. I don't. And so I talk to football people. And I had a football person tell me earlier this week, man, have you watched them on film? And I'm like, no, I don't watch film. And he said, well, if you watched them on film, you'd see that their safeties, he goes, you're going to get upset when I say this. And I went, okay. And he goes, because you wrote about this a lot last year and you guys got yelled at. And I said, okay. And he goes, the safeties don't fit the gaps.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you get big play. Like, listen, for every football coach out there that wants to tell you it's complicated, you do get the couple of honest football coaches that will say, hey, man, it's football. Like, if you know, you know what I mean? Like, you know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah, stick with it. You fit the A gap, you fit the B gap, you fit. You have to have fits. The safeties are asked to do fits. It's why last year I got upset at Peter. Upset's not the right word. I got irritated with people when they would kept making fun of Dave Womack. It was, look, I'm not saying Dave Womack is the greatest defensive coordinator in the history of the game. I'm not. I am saying that Dave Womack has forgotten more defense than you've ever known. He's been able to teach this before. For whatever reason, this group can't do it. And so it's either they don't possess the mental capability or they're not athletic enough. One or the other.
Right, and we've gotten to the simplify, to your point, we've gotten to simplify week, which you know much more better, or much better than I do. Simplify week is code for we're not very good, but on the off chance that we put together a miracle and something positive comes out of this, we can say, hey, you know, we simplified the system. It worked for us. And you try to build positive momentum that way. But really all it means is we are physically undermanned.
Yes. Simplify is a code word for we don't really know what we're supposed to say here. We're doing these media things because we have a media obligation. What do you want us to say? That's where we are. And when you say that on October the 5th, from a media standpoint, it's pretty scary.
Oh, yeah, because that means you're basically a couple of bad losses away where, I mean, you know, I guess you can always give lip service and ask the scheme questions and whatnot, but newsflash, it's not really going to change anything. So here we are.
So we're all laying the 21. Appear to all be laying the 21 rather comfortably. I've got Auburn by 35. Chase has Auburn by 24. And you've got Auburn by 35.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I would have laid 31.
But do you agree with me? It's almost, it's weird for me. It'd be easier to lay 31 than it would be for me to lay 21. And I cannot explain it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of know what you mean.
The 21's almost like, why is this not more?
I think Auburn's pretty good. I think they're getting better. I think they have something to play for. I think they're motivated. I'm not a huge Gus Malzahn fan, but I do think he's a pretty decent coach, especially if you give him the right set of parameters, which I think he sort of has this year. The Stidham kid's getting better. You have to at least give the Stidham kid a little benefit of the doubt that he's having to shake off some rust. He didn't play last year. When you don't play, you do accumulate rust. And it does take a little time to get that rust off. Now, is he going to be the dynamic world beater that he was marketed to be? No, of course not. That's just the Auburn way. They overhype the hell out of a quarterback. It's their thing. But he's better now than he was in week one. They figured out their offense. They're running the ball downhill, and they're running it effectively, and they attack you defensively. They come after you defensively, and they're very athletic up front. I remember Greg Little saying in the summer, I asked him, who was the defense that really stood out to you last year? And I thought he was going to talk about Alabama, and he talked about Auburn. He said they came at you in waves, and they had depth, and they were all big, and they were all fast, and they attacked. And it's more of the same with that front seven, and that's going to give Ole Miss fits. And you throw in the reality that Sean Rawlings is going to play. This is a credit to Sean. He's tough as nails, and nobody cares more about that program and that team than he does. But when you don't practice all week and then you get in there on Saturday, I go back to the rust thing. You have rust, and they're just not good enough up front for that.
Completely agree with what you're saying. The other flip side of it is, Chase, you and I have kind of talked about this. When you're worst, the defense is worse than the offense, although you could, I guess, kind of make a case, even though offense probably has more SEC level and above talent than the defense. But when your defense is on the field basically 60% of the game, I mean, that's just, like, I don't understand how this is going to work. Like, Auburn is just better, and then on defense, they're going to be rested, and all of a sudden now I'm expected Ole Miss to make some plays that's going to keep this thing within, you know, three touchdowns. The numbers don't add up.
Yeah, Ole Miss is in the bottom half of the nation easily in third down offense, it's for plays, and then with third down offense, they're like 103rd, 111th or something. They're 113th and 115th nationally in third and medium and third and long. They don't stay on the field. They're dead last in rushing yards per game. They're 124th in rushing yards per attempt. There's nothing about this game that tells me that Ole Miss stays within whatever. I mean, now they'll say that, and it'll be 24-20. But you know what I mean.
It is what it is. But that would be an anomaly. Stop me when you've heard this before. If Ole Miss doesn't get a huge play, they don't score.
Well, I mean, their last score was the 71-yard touchdown to DK Metcalf with 13:02 left in the second quarter against Cal.
And Justin Wilcox went into that locker room, and they made an adjustment. Alabama had 2 weeks to look at the film. They took the same thing away. Ole Miss had one shot at a deep ball, and Patterson overthrew Lodge. That was it for the whole game.
Yep.
So I'm guessing here that Auburn – will have looked at those two films, and they will also take away the deep ball.
This is actually just strength, in my opinion. The way that this offense operates, it looks for one-on-one matchups, and they try to take their shot. Like, that is the definition of high risk, high reward.
It's pretty
simple.
The problem
is, Auburn doesn't have to... It works if you've got teams that are undermanned that have to try and bring pressure to create big plays defensively. Like, there's a chance that you can get to the quarterback that way. But if you're Ole Miss, that's what you want, because you want man to man because you have big time receivers. And so that's what you want. You get your big shot, big play. Yay, everyone's happy. But let's also not take away something. Like, I think Shea Patterson's fantastic, but Shea has not shown the ability that Chad had to drive the ball down the field accurately and just create massive plays like Chad did with his arm. Like, I'm talking the deep, deep shot. Like, Shea has shown the ability to improvise, and he makes really good plays on his feet. But, like, just dropping back and throwing bombs and hitting them accurately, he's not shown the ability that Chad had.
Alabama flushed him to the left.
Yes, that was a huge, huge deal.
And so Auburn's going to flush him to the left. This is the baseball thing, right, where the rookie comes up and he destroys the cover off the baseball for the first 3 weeks, and then the league makes adjustments, and then you have to adjust to the adjustment. Shea's in the phase now where you must adjust to the adjustment.
Chase, if you need the comparison, it's the guy that tears the cover off the ball in non-conference baseball.
Yeah, I got you.
Then when the book gets out on him in SEC play, he hits about 150.
I saw a few of those over the last few years.
And they hammer your weakness until you fix it. And if you don't fix it, they'd never stop hammering it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Next, we have the team that's probably going to win the SEC East, number 5, Georgia, -17 at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt Stadium, 11 a.m. on ESPN. Got the big network for the Commodores at 11 a.m. a week after, or 2 weeks after having the 2:30 CBS game.
Stop right there. Stop right there.
Yeah.
Neil and Chase.
Yeah.
Isn't this an indictment? Like, this is where we are in college football. Like when people ask me, this is what I hate whenever it's like, the SEC's down, the SEC's down. I'm like, no, I watch more college football than just about anyone I know. College football is down. Like, this
I
is
agree.
The indictment. The fact that CBS, that Vanderbilt, by the way, they probably should have been on CBS against Alabama coming into that week. But, like, that's like the whole point. Like, that's just where we are. We throw our hands up. Like, we just don't know. Like, other than Alabama and Clemson, are you really certain that anyone's good?
No. And I'm tired of everybody attacking Alabama. Like, the reason the SEC sucks is because Alabama's gotten really good. That's not fair.
No, the
Alabama's job is to be really good and kick everyone's ass, and that's what they're doing. It's everybody else's job to get better and catch them, and instead everybody, with the possible exception of Georgia, is going the opposite direction.
Oh, to me, it's the same thing. It's like, you look at most of the programs around the nation, it comes down to who has an elite-level coach. And in general, I believe I saw the stat the other day, the SEC, with the exception of, wait for it, Houston Nutt and then Brett Bielema, the SEC has not hired a sitting Power 5 coach. And Houston Nutt was not a sitting Power 5 coach. He was a sitting Duck Power 5 coach, but not a sitting Power 5 coach since Saban. Everyone's basically either been a coordinator, been fired from somewhere, or been a group of five coach.
We'll take a break in this interview to tell you about Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, the makers of Sildenafil, the parent company of Right Way Meds. Get Sildenafil to help you out with that little problem you might have. Instead of $50 or $60 for the little blue pill, it's only $10. It is just as effective as the other guys and gets you ready as little as 15 minutes, 662-252-2321. Or fill out the form directly there on TysonDrugs.com. When you give them a call, just give them your doctor's name. They get the prescription ready, and they'll even deliver it to you. If you are not local, you can break it up into halves or quarters, or just take the whole pill, as we said yesterday, if you have a big day ahead. So TysonDrugs.com.
Big day ahead. What do you think we are, an SEC football coach? The podcast brought to you by Vitamend. Also the sponsor of my 10-weekend, not 10-weekend thoughts, that's Harry Alexander. I'll tell you about him in a second, too. He Vitamin's the sponsor of Neil's Picks. They're up on the site. 3010 Old Taylor Road, in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments, next door to Lapel's Dry Cleaning, same IVs and shots as before. They've added the Cryo Sauna, the Infrared Sauna, combo packages where you can detox in the infrared, get fluids after. It's a great way to wash away a wild weekend, so if you have one planned, plan to stop in at Vitamin next Tuesday and take care of that. They got the overserve treatment, all sorts of stuff. Smoothie bar, natural foods, no added sugar, locally sourced. 638-3600, open Tuesday through Sunday. IVs and shots Friday through Sunday. Call ahead, 638-3600, or send them an email, info@vitamin.com. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. As I just mentioned, Harry is the sponsor of my 10-weekend thoughts, which, God willing, will be up sometime late Sunday. Harry's been in the Oxford area more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than he does. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you might be interested in. Those results are updated daily. And then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Chase has been saying this for a while. We're talking about the Ole Miss deal. They need to hire the best football coach, the guy who can actually coach football the best.
I think the league's too dependent on recruiters right now.
Well,
and I get it's both. I get it's both, but your staff can recruit.
I'm not a good coach. I'm not. To me, what it's basically, it's still the same. We're still stuck in though. We want someone with Saban ties. Saban, like, you know, it's always driven me insane. Like,
Copy of a copy.
Right. We saw this in the NFL a decade ago. Like, everyone wanted a Belichick guy because Belichick was it's like, who's the best? Okay. Well, let's go find who was that guy's assistant. It's like, okay.
Okay, but can I play devil's advocate?
Oh, no. But what I'm saying is, then you look at the world of business. Like, I don't want Warren Buffett's secretary to invest my money. I want Warren Buffett to invest my money. So if I can't go get Warren Buffett, I don't want the secretary. I want to go find the next Warren Buffett.
See, I'm kind of torn here because I agree with you. In principle, I agree with you 100%. My problem is I look around the league right now and I see one great program, probably 10 crappy programs, two or three middling programs, and then one program that has promise, and that's Georgia. And they went out and hired a guy with who had been with Saban for a decade and said, bring Alabama East.
Right.
And that's kind of what he's trying to do. And it, at the risk of, it's kind of working.
Well, the reason why I look at Kirby differently is, let's get real. Georgia decided to commit to winning in a different manner than they did under Mark Richt.
Yes.
To me, I do look at that like,
that's fair.
I do think if you're Georgia and if you're Alabama, I do think that the best recruiter probably matters more than the best overall game coach. Like, that's what I'm sick of hearing about Alabama. It's like, they do nothing schematically that is this, like, it's not like they have all these exotic blitzes. Yeah, maybe they come at you on third down with some different looks, but overall, the reason why they're coming at you on third down and second down with exotic blitzes is because normally they don't have to blitz. And so anytime you blitz, you're like, oh, S. And like, but that's like, they don't overwhelm you with coaching or with scheme. They overwhelm you with talent. And I think Georgia is probably the place that you can do that. I think I used to think you could do it at Florida, but I do think Jim McElwain's rant after the SEC championship, I do think that rant was a, that wasn't a rant towards, hey, we need a new indoor practice facility. That was a rant towards, we need something that's going to get us more players. And that's what it comes down to.
A more committed network.
I do think that Georgia is an exception.
Yeah, I think Georgia's network is very committed right now.
I think they are all in on winning.
Kirby is the exception, too, because we're talking about a 10-12-year assistant. Like that guy doesn't exist anywhere else.
Right.
Like that's not really, you know, that's not Pruitt. That's not it. It's not whomever you want to make it.
Let's also get real. For a conference that has so much money, they've largely on hires. Now, later on, they end up overpaying. But on hires, a lot of them have gone cheap. And it's in a sport where the head coach matters more than I can think any other sport, including professional football. Like, I don't understand why people are not backing up a Brinks truck to like a Gary Patterson and saying, what is it going to take for you to say yes to this? We're going to overwhelm you with money and go get a Gary Patterson. Go get, I guess now it's not going to probably take the Brinks truck for Bobby Petrino. Although if I'm Bobby Petrino, when's their last game? Louisville's?
Whenever they play Kentucky, and I'm with you, I'm trying to get out the next morning.
Well, the next morning, I'm inviting everyone over to the Petrino residence. I'm not sure if Mrs. Petrino will be there. But if I'm there, I'm saying, all right, boys, and I'm holding an auction. And by the way, I'm also inviting Louisville.
If you're Ole Miss, do you participate in that auction?
If I'm anyone, I participate. If I'm
well, seriously, because you're coming off the free stuff with the massage parlors and all of that stuff, and he does have the motorcycle deal with the girl that he'd put on the payroll. I mean, it was a pretty egregious offense on multiple fronts. Do you still get involved?
Yes, because here's the difference between Petrino and Freeze. How many times has Petrino not sustained success?
Zero.
How many times has Bobby Petrino, whether humbly, been condescending? He's overtly condescending.
Yeah, he's kind of made fun of himself some.
Yeah, but I mean, he basically owns that he's not exactly the world's greatest guy.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
If I'm in this position where I know that, shall we say, ticket sales are waning, interest is probably at the lowest that I've seen it in, I guess, well, it's probably 6 years, but to me, honestly, I think more people are checked out right now than they were at this point in 2011.
No doubt. Oh, I'm with you. By the way, I agree. I just was kind of asking for doing. I was doing the radio host thingy. I'm with you.
You know who I'd go get? I mean, I don't think Petrino's realistic because I think Petrino's probably going to have better offers.
Who'd you go get?
I'm going to get Mike Leach. His two jobs have been Texas Tech and Washington State, and he has smashed the overall win expectation at both jobs.
We talked about him this week. And I started it out just kind of – I can't even remember how the subject came up. Something came up about Mike Leach, and we were talking about USC. And I just – about how USC, the Pac-12 maybe
didn't. It was the column from the dude in the Bay Area who said that the Pac-12 should do a better job of schedule protection for their best teams. And then that dovetailed into Mike Leach.
Wasn't there like also another column, like maybe it was just Chris Peterson was talking. It's like, we don't have a feature game. Like every other conference has a feature TV game. We don't have one.
Yeah,
like,
he's mad about the late night games only.
Well, I'm not, because you're your glory's last shot.
But I certainly understand his point.
You don't have an 11, you know, you don't have a 2:30, 12:30 Pacific.
Correct.
Time slot for them.
Like they used to, like on ABC.
I'm with you on Leach, by the way. I'm kicking the hell out of those tires and finding out. He's on my list.
All right. You both have Georgia covering this line. I did, and Dylan actually talked me out of it last night, so I might hate myself in a few days. We'll see. he is determined that Georgia is going to have a letdown after playing pretty much 99.9% the last few weeks.
They probably will, but Vandy can't score.
Yeah, I'm here we are. I suck, so I asked, and that was the opinion I got. LSU, +3.5 at number 21, Florida, 230 CBS. Neil wanted to float down all week, and then he took LSU. So he really cost himself 4 or 5 points there for no reason.
It's the ultimate game where, yes, I could see them like emptying out the entire book and finding a way to win a game. But overall, if these two teams just play straight up, I think Florida wins just because, like, everyone laughs at McElwain's ability to win like close games and games that he shouldn't win. He wins close games because he never puts his teams really in bad positions. Like, you look at that Tennessee game, he made one mistake as a coach. He let Felipe Franks throw a slant route into traffic on a down that they probably shouldn't have. The pass gets picked, and from that point on, he's like, I'm not letting Felipe Franks beat me the rest of the night or the rest of the afternoon. And that's why he usually wins close games. He usually just lets other teams beat themselves. And on the other sideline's Ed Orgeron. So I feel good.
The reason I did this is I think this one week, Ed Orgeron has backed himself into a spot where he has no choice but to let Matt Canada run the damned offense.
What happens though after those first three possessions when they're not effective?
No, I think this is the one week that the shackles are on him to the point that he can't escape.
Did you read Ross's tweets from the coaches show last night?
I did. Oh, it's a train wreck. It's a total train wreck. It's a disaster. I set the over-under on this at 2 years, and I took the under, and I feel so good about it. That being said, the quarterback play in this game, Felipe Franks and Danny Etling, is so bad that it – because I love bashing the SEC because the SEC is so obnoxiously arrogant about how great their football is. I won't be watching this game because I'll be driving. But, oh, God, how I would love to just – tweet at SEC on this game. Just show videos of plays and go, yeah, it just means more. This is bad football between two of the league's really elite institutions, names, powers.
It's two top 10 jobs.
Two top 10 national jobs where the product on the field is trash. Yeah. That's an indictment of somebody, and I don't know who.
I don't know that Florida on the field total is trash. That's probably a little carried away. The quarterback is bad.
Water is wet.
Yeah, they're not good, man. They're not.
But college football is not good. Given the state of college football,
Florida
is good.
Florida. No. Florida should be good no matter what. They get athletes out the wazoo down there. They have.
But I mean, by that conversation though, Texas should be good. USC should be good.
Yes.
You know, all of these teams that should be good should be good.
Florida's product on the field should look better than it is, and it hasn't in a while.
Maybe it's just coaches. Florida doesn't have a history of being good. They have two coaches that have been good.
But they should be good. That's a top 10 job. LSU
because of two coaches.
LSU should be good because of money.
Well, they have Ed Orgeron.
In fairness to Florida, and I know, don't get me wrong, I'm well aware of the population of the state of Florida and how much talent comes from there. In fairness to Florida, historically, it's been a much better job when Florida State is down.
Yeah.
Like you look, I mean, I guess Spurrier is the one example, but Spurrier was just such a better coach than Bowden. Like, that was how he beat him. But you look at when Urban Meyer had his run, Florida State sucked.
Yeah, they were in the senility years of the Bowden era. Yeah.
All right, well, we got 5 more minutes with you or so, Jeffrey. Zoom through these a little bit. Arkansas -2 at South Carolina. Jeffrey has South Carolina winning the football game. Neil and I both have Arkansas winning the football game. You got a 30-second reason why, Jeffrey?
It's a toss-up game, and I just decided I wanted the home team.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, I'm rolling with, as you call him, A squared.
Every time I bet against him, it usually ends up poorly, so that's good for y'all.
Number one, Alabama -25.5 at Texas A&M, 6:15 ESPN. Alabama, the last two games, has outscored opponents 118-3, which is kind of high. However, on this one, for some reason, I feel like A&M stays just inside the number. Alabama's only covered a number this high against A&M one time since A&M joined the league. And now that was 59-0.
Yeah.
But, you know, nonetheless, for some reason, I think this stays just inside the number.
Well, Alabama had only covered a number as big against Ole Miss one time in the last decade.
That's true. That is true.
To me, it just comes down to Kellen Mond can't throw. And if you can't throw, you don't really score on Alabama. And while I do think A&M has definitely kind of figured out what they are is a running team that tries to stop the run. So they're the poorest of poor man's version of Alabama. Those teams usually get waxed by Alabama.
Yeah, I feel already like, you know, the feeling I had last week on Auburn, Mississippi State, the kind of reflux, it's already hit me on this game. I wish I had laid the number.
To me, Alabama's just kind of, they're just kind of a machine right now. And it feels like we've reached that point like last year where Alabama had some like kind of lackluster non-conference opponent like games. And then once they reached conference, like they won, like they covered like nine straight. Vegas just couldn't set the line high enough.
I've studied Nick Saban body language for years.
He likes this team.
He loves this team.
They're like, they're exactly what he wants. Like, there's no personality to it.
Yep.
They just, week in and week out, they just.
He's very comfortable with Lane being gone because he can just run the football now. Don't have to deal with all Lane's crap from his perspective.
He's got a quarterback who doesn't feel safe in his job, and so he's very focused. He loves that.
He doesn't turn it over. Yeah, he's not good. He just doesn't give the ball to the other team.
Because he doesn't want to lose his job.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of hanging in there. He's got lots of competition from really talented kids. He's got some older guys that have won before that are hungry to win again because they had a bad season last year because they lost by a yard in a second. And
they only got one title in 5 years.
And they're just they are absolutely laser focused. And he's not even doing mental games anymore. I mean, Saban is so locked in with them. They're dangerous as hell right now.
I agree.
Last game, Missouri plus 11.5 at Kentucky, 6:30 SEC Network. Kentucky is a Power 5 team, so Drew Locke is going to suck, and Kentucky will cover this this line against the Tigers.
Yeah, Missouri's playing, so I like Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kentucky, man, they have a sneaky shot at 7-1. Got to win in Starkville to do it, but that's doable. And then they get Tennessee at home. They could be 7-1 when Ole Miss comes there in November, which means they'll be 8-1. I mean, Kentucky could look back on that Florida choke and go, oh, my God.
Yeah, but again, what is it, 34 years isn't a coincidence?
Yeah, and they're going to lose to Georgia too, so they're going to lose games. But he has a legitimate shot.
This is setting up for Florida to beat Georgia and to win the East again, isn't it?
Oh,
They
win, they beat LSU this week. Because and look, I mean, just play it like this. Let's say Auburn beats Georgia, which is possible.
It's possible.
And then Georgia loses to Florida. Florida would have to lose three SEC games to not win the East.
If that happens, Georgia has to go back and soul search.
Yeah.
Like really soul search. Unlike Kentucky, like if they go like 8-4, 9-3, they go, hey,
we're Kentucky.
We're good.
Mark Stoops has 5 million sound.
Yeah, he's in the Outback Bowl.
He's sitting in his courtside seats at Rupp all happy during the winter.
Oh, yeah, sure. So. Absolutely. If you can turn Kentucky into a 7.3 win a year program, you're David Cutcliffe at Duke.
Who's the fifth best team in the SEC, Jeffer?
Oh, boy. This week?
Sure.
God. Overall, who's the fifth best team in the league?
All right, so we're going Alabama 1, Georgia 2.
Auburn 3, Florida 4.
Auburn 3, who were you saying 4?
And Florida's 4. Who's 5?
Oh, boy. Is it Texas A&M?
Our pool yesterday when we were discussing it was A&M, Mississippi State, or Kentucky.
I said A&M.
I think A&M's better. I think A&M has better players than the other two teams.
Okay. And then we just basically put everybody 8-13 in a pile, and then put Missouri at 14.
Yeah, to me this week I'm fine with that.
Okay, fair enough. Who's on the show today, Jeffrey?
Today coming up, so Jeff is doing college visits. So your boy has the show. We've got Jeff on the road at the Open. Then we're going to talk to Stephen White of SB Nation, talk some NFL. Chris Harrington will discuss the Grizzlies. It's preseason's like kind of like in full force. It's weird. And now we've reached that point where all Grizzlies fans have talked themselves into optimism for the season. So that's always a fun, start. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, Ed Ashoff's going to join us the second segment. Second hour. He's got a quarterback story that he's working on. But if that goes up, Ed's going to join us.
Rockets Thunder had the highest NBA preseason number, TV number, since 2011.
Yeah, but it turns out both those teams in the offseason ended up getting better.
Yeah.
Weird, huh?
Warriors are the field.
Warriors.
I agree.
I was shocked that it was only 93% yesterday.
93%?
GMs couldn't vote for their own teams. I think this was the first time they did that. And so they counted the votes based on the amount of total, and only 93% voted for the Warriors to win.
So everybody except the Warriors GM voted for the Warriors to win.
Well, there would have been two other teams.
Yeah, so he and three, I guess.
Because it would have been out of 29, so okay. I think it was 27 out of 29.
Wow.
Jeez. I'd like to talk to those two guys.
Might have been Presti and Maury.
I guess, but who? If you can't, I guess they decided to vote for each other.
It's like the high school elections. We'll play.
I don't think Sam Presti would have voted for Daryl Morey.
Yeah, and then Morey voted for Presti.
Daryl Morey might very well have voted for someone other than the Warriors because he's just sort of defiant that way.
Do we know who else got votes? We don't know that.
We do, but I don't have the numbers in front of me because of they had the rankings.
Okay, doesn't matter. All right, appreciate it, Jeff. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
Thanks to Jeff for joining us every Thursday here on the show. A show that is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. Also, all of North Mississippi with skeeter beaters. If you want to get rid of those pesky mosquitoes to enjoy your outside space. No, yard is too big or small. And again, you can get a free quote with 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com. And when you sign an annual contract and mention the podcast, first cut is free.
Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair, and you can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, and you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846, or Shane, 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated, right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account you'll find anywhere. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances, up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
The Committee on Infractions for North Carolina moving pretty fast. They are announcing the final penalties tomorrow for the Tar Heels.
Okay, so let's do some math. They had their COI hearing about 3 weeks before Ole Miss. Is that right?
Give or take. I'm looking it up now, but I think so. That's okay. About right.
I'll let you look it up, and we'll get it precise because we don't need to get that one wrong. 3 weeks sounds about right.
It concluded August 17th.
Okay. Ole Miss has concluded on
September 12th.
September the 12th. So
a little over 3 weeks.
A little over 3 weeks. Interesting. Today's October.
I mean, that time frame would be an October announcement.
Yeah, today is October the 5th, so 3.5 weeks from today puts you in the Halloween week.
Yeah, Inside Carolina, whatever, August 17th, says wrapped up shortly after 1 p.m. Central in Nashville on that Thursday. So, yeah, August 17th.
And announcing it tomorrow, so they're announcing it on October the 6th. So I'm just doing this precisely. August the 17th to the 31st is 14. The month of September had 30 days. That's 44 days. They're announcing it's a 50-day. So if Ole Miss's was 50 days after September the 12th, that would be 18. It'd be November 1st or 2nd.
Which was the original timeline.
I've been saying all along, early to mid-November.
You don't think it's after the season?
I don't. Now, let me say this. As much as I love to take shots at Pat Forty, I have zero doubt that Pat Forty had a good source on that. I have a feeling that when that story came out, that changed the deal. That people said, whoa.
Your take on the Cam Newton thing last night?
I don't know. I can't comment about pro football since I never played it. I mean, I can't.
His comment. He was asked a question from the beat writer at the Charlotte Observer, a female, who asked about a wide receiver or a route with a wide receiver or something, and Cam Newton's response was, "It's funny to hear a female ask about routes." Later on that night, she went to ask him for basically clarification or to talk about it further, and I don't have it in front of me. Basically, he went on to – he didn't apologize. He went on to say, well, if you understand it, you know more than most of the dudes in there, and kind of walked off but didn't walk back his comment.
Yeah, her name is Jordan Rodrigue. It was a perfectly good question. It was a god-awful answer. I love what – Paula Levine of ESPN, her tweet this morning. It was great. Have you seen it?
I think so. The laptop thing?
Yeah, she tweets, quote, as a female news reporter, I guess I'm lucky no one's ever suggested I can't cover crime because I haven't, stolen a laptop. You win Twitter today, Paula. Congratulations.
That's pretty good.
I hate when coaches do it. Well, you guys didn't play. You don't understand. So you're telling me the scientist or the journalist who cover NASA can't explain it to me because they've never flown into space? They've never walked on the moon, therefore they can't write about a lunar landing? Is that how that works?
We've talked about this. The reason we don't do certain things, the reason we make fun of ourselves. There are intricacies to any sport that can't be understood by media. I don't know. Yes. I have no idea. Hugh Freeze, Matt Luke, those guys are watching a different game than I'm watching.
Yes.
I don't know. Do you feel like males get a benefit of the doubt that females don't get, that they do know the sport better than they do?
The risk of a cop out here, I'm not female, so I don't know what they've dealt with. I've talked to some female reporters who talk about things that happen that if it happened to me, I would be really angry. I do think they're treated differently sometimes. I'll just say this. I don't know Jordan Rodrigue, but I do know people at that paper, and that's a hard job, hard place to get a job. And that's a paper that takes that beat really seriously. And if she got that job, she's probably pretty damn good. And she's covered that. Here's the interesting thing. I'll ask you this. She's covered Cam Newton and the Panthers now for more than a year. Are you surprised that Cam Newton didn't know her name? It's the Charlotte Observer. And don't give me the, I don't read the paper. Yeah, you know what's in the damn Charlotte Observer.
I mean, I want to say, yes, I'm stunned, but part of me's not.
How many of the guys you think that we cover know our names? Not many. We're not really allowed the relationships we used to have.
I mean, The majority, though, still.
Did they know your name?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I've always had pretty good relationships, like with basketball guys I've covered. When I say relationships, I don't mean like we sit around and talk about life, but we're respectful to one another.
Mike Bianchi wrote the same column again today that UCF and USF should replace Ole Miss and State in the SEC. It's the third time he's written this.
Just fishing, trolling.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah. And the truth
is, a paper that's got a pretty good reputation, he's not a smart columnist. How does it continue?
Because he's been there forever, seniority.
Is that all it is?
Let's pick that column apart for a moment. Let's take it on its face. Let's get away from the shock value and take it for what it's worth. Let's just say, and God, I'm scared here. Let's say the SEC were to decide to get rid of one of the Mississippi schools because of redundancy. Okay?
Yeah.
For kicks and giggles. It's not happening, people, but just in case. You wouldn't even think about UCF or USF. You already have those markets. You have the University of Florida, which is huge in both Tampa and Orlando. You would not need either one of those teams. So if you were to get rid of Ole Miss or Mississippi State or both and say, hey, there's no major market in Mississippi, screw it. We have the Memphis market already with Tennessee. Let's get rid of the two Mississippi schools. Let's grow. It's not the route you'd take. You'd go up the Eastern Seaboard. You'd hit on West Virginia, Virginia Tech, UVA, UNC, NC State. You'd see if you could hit one of them. You'd go west. You'd hit on Oklahoma. Maybe Kansas. You wouldn't try to add schools in markets that you already own. You already own those markets. And if you were to decide as the SEC that you want that redundancy didn't matter, okay, well, you'd add Clemson. You'd hit on Clemson. You'd hit on Florida State. If you were to decide, hey, let's double down in Florida, you wouldn't go, hey, let's get UCF and USF. You'd say, let's get Florida State.
Well, I mean, the one thing that he says that's true, and this goes for basically every school in every conference, is they're there because there was some dude that put them in there 100 years ago. Yes.
Well, I agree with that. I've been saying this for a while. Yeah, Ole Miss,
that is true.
Ole Miss could solve this whole mascot thingy. They could get rid of the Rebels and the Bears and the Landsharks, and they could go find the last name of the cat that got them in the SEC and be that, because that dude's a hero. Ole Miss is going to be able to pay its next head coach $5 million a year if it wants to, thanks to the efforts of whoever that guy was.
The part, though, that is disingenuous and is pandering to a base is that it goes on to talk about how conference affiliation and TV checks are the only reason that UCF and USF are not LSU in Florida and people like that.
It's not
they
true.
Do not have the fan bases. They no. don't have the people. They don't have the money that comes from other sources that there is in these other programs.
The people who go to UCF are commuter students.
Yes. Almost exclusively.
Their fandom is either with Florida, Florida State, or some other school that they cheered for before their
family moved. It's a big version of Miami of Ohio or Akron.
Yeah, before their families moved to Orlando. Those people aren't UCF fans. USF fans, the people that live in Tampa, the people that go to USF are the people that go to, it's like the people that live in Mobile who go to South Alabama. Most of them are Alabama or Auburn fans.
Central Florida last year averaged, or I've got this, 2015, Central Florida averaged 30,000 people at a game.
Yeah, stop, Mike.
30 grand.
Ole Miss next week, Mike, is going to play Vanderbilt. It's very likely going to play Vanderbilt on the heels of two blowout losses inside the league.
And three total losses.
And Ole Miss will come in, will play that game against Vanderbilt at 2:30 in the afternoon with 55,000 people there. Stop. Mississippi State will play next weekend at home against
BYU.
Kentucky.
BYU.
BYU will not bring many people, Mike. Mississippi State's last two games were blowout losses at Georgia and at Auburn. Deflating blowout losses. Mississippi State will put between 50 and 55,000 people in Scott Field for Brigham Young.
Yeah, not Alabama.
Holler when you're ready to argue, Mike. And don't be so damned lazy, man.
Well, and there's no TV. That's the thing that gets me. The entire story, I skimmed it. I saw nothing about markets or footprints or anything. Just.
It's just, I don't have anything to write because I'm lazy.
So I'm going to open this up because I know I'm going to get called a bunch of names, get a bunch of emails, get a bunch of comments, and get a bunch of questions.
And I can tell my editors, look at me.
I mean, the reputation's shock jock. It is what it is.
Yeah, he doesn't care. No. He's getting a check, does a radio show, whatever.
Yeah. They give him content today for a radio show.
Well, because Joe from Clearwater will call in and go, damn right, Mike. And then Billy from Kosciuszko will find the number and go, let me tell you something. If you ever come to Mississippi,
yeah.
And then you've won. You've got through.
You fill 3 hours.
You made it to the next commercial break.
Yeah.
All right. You go to your weekly visit with the Tampa Bay offensive coordinator and you made it.
Yeah.
You made it to the radio. You made it through the radio show.
Thanks to Jeffrey today, Ryan Brown tomorrow. Again, another edition of the Beer Garden and of the Soft Verbal coming this week as well. So check those out. Appreciate that. And Neil?
The podcast has also been brought to you by Michael Oswalt. Michael's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. Website's gotland.com. Look, if you're a buyer, Michael has the best land inventory in Mississippi. There's a reason for that. People like to list with Michael and with Tom Smith Land and Homes. If you're thinking about selling, if you're on the fence, if it's in your future, he'll come to your home. He'll tell you what he does. He'll market your property, and he'll get it sold. Tom Smith Land and Homes, in the midst of its fourth record-breaking year, there's a bunch of reasons for that. Included in that is the market's hot. If you're on the fence, you're ready to sell, call Michael. He's ready to work for you. He'll put his money where his mouth is. He'll market your property. If it's drone videos, whatever it takes, he'll market your property. He'll get it sold. Hunting season has arrived. Bow season began October 1st. It's a great time to look for or sell recreational property. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, Michael@TomSmithLand.com.
So again, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a normal Friday podcast with Ryan. And again, Ole Miss Auburn, 11 a.m. on Saturday.